In the name of our gracious Lord God, who has served us and called us to serve in His kingdom, as we repent and turn to Him alone for righteousness and salvation, Jesus Christ alone. Brothers and sisters in Christ, has this ever happened to you? You call up customer service because, well, let's say, for example, something is wrong on your bill. Maybe it's your cell phone bill. And you call up customer service and you're bounced around through teleprompts and finally you get to talk to somebody because you know you can only get where you wanted to go by talking to a live human being. And when you get to that person, it's someone who speaks broken English and you have this dialogue back and forth of them trying to figure out if they understand you and if they're getting the right thing done. And finally, after maybe an hour or so of wasted time, it seems, you finally get from them, "Okay, sir, thank you for your patience. It should be all taken care of, and here's the confirmation number. You can write it down." And then maybe you even ask, "Can I have your employee ID?" because you don't want to have to deal with all that stuff again. And they say, "Yes, sir, we'll take care of your problem, and it should be taken care of." You get off the phone, and 1 month later, you go out to your mailbox, and you get the exact same thing. Nothing changed. They told you they did what they were. They said they were going to do what they needed to fix your bill, and it came right back the exact same way. Or maybe it's you left a voicemail on someone's phone, and they said in their voicemail, "Please leave a message, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can." And they never do, because they made that promise. They were a hypocritical poser on the outside. You know what the word hypocrite means, and they posed as someone who did something or was a certain way when they didn't do. They didn't follow through what they said they were going to do. And this can affect us, you know, in more ways than just a phone bill in our lives. But as much as we despise it when people don't follow their word to us, how many times do you see that same person when you get up in the morning and look in the mirror? You've made those promises. You said you would be faithful to the point of death. You'd suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from Christ Jesus. You said you would pray for one another within God's house. You said you would encourage each other all the more as you see that day approaching. You said you would teach your children and not be a hindrance to them. You said you would love, serve, honor, and obey your parents and others in authority. And when you look in the mirror, you see the same kind of person you despise when you made that phone call to customer service and they didn't keep their promise to you, but in a much more severe way. Jesus comes to us today in the form of a short parable. He asks us the question very simply, as you see in your bulletin. Which son are you? Are you the hypocritical poser or are you the repentant closer? Jesus, as we know today, is talking to the Pharisees, and if anybody would fit that description of being the hypocritical poser, it would be them. Jesus at one point would call them whitewashed walls on the outside, looking the part, but on the inside nothing but empty hollow tombs. Empty of any trust in the righteousness of Christ. And so I guess the question before us today is, why in the world would God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, take any time to go and talk to these people when he knows full well they aren't going to listen to him? Why even bother dealing with them? It is in Jesus' parable today that we see his compassion for the lost. We see his compassion for even the Pharisee. Yes, even the little Pharisee in each one of us. So as we get into this parable today, it's interesting to note how Jesus starts the parable. It's the father speaking to his two sons, and he's bidding them. He's not coming up to them and saying, here, listen, son, it's your turn to go out and work in the vineyard. Doesn't say that. He says, my child. It says son in the English, but really it's a gentler tone. My child, will you go and work in my vineyard today? Will you go and learn this trade that I find so much joy in? Will you join me in working to satisfy the joy that you get in serving? Will you, and the first son? I will not. Not going to do it. Whether it's I don't have the time, whether it's I don't feel like it, whether it's I got better things to do, whether it's, well, I've already done that before and I don't feel like doing it again. Whether it's I don't really want to serve in my father's vineyard. By now I hope you've figured out that the vineyard really is the Lord's kingdom. Jesus is the Father asking the sons, and finally it is the Father in heaven through the Son who is asking his sons to serve in his kingdom. And really this is not so much a question of serving as it is following. And so what the son does is he doesn't go, at least not to begin with. We don't know why, but perhaps we can relate just a little bit to his answer, can we? We, by our very nature, we're born obstinate. We're born saying no to God, and very much there's a little part of us that says, no, I don't want to go. No, I don't want to serve the Lord. No, I've done that so many times before, let somebody else do it. No, I've served my family. No, I've served my wife, my husband. No, I've served my parents. No, I've done what I need to. I'm not doing it anymore. No, I've served my Lord. Now it's time for Him to turn around and serve me. I've been a faithful member my whole life. I should be able to be rewarded with something. I won't go. But then in that walk of faith, the Lord comes along, and maybe even today, through the Word, through those means of grace, He strikes a chord in your heart. He pricks your conscience and He says, remember how you didn't deserve even one blip of my attention and I gave it to you? Remember how this kingdom of mine is one that I've prepared for you. Remember how I prepared you to work in my kingdom, to be a servant in my kingdom, even to be a part of my kingdom. The fact that the Lord would even ask a son to work in his vineyard, a son or a daughter, is really a miracle in itself that God would even call us his sons and daughters. And so really when we see this son who says, I will not to begin with, and then goes and works, we see one who is a repentant closer. Repentant, you know, means he's turning from one direction completely around to another. He said no to begin with, and then he went. He said no with his mouth and yes with his actions and with his body. Isn't it interesting how the Lord works that in us? That there are times where we say, no, I don't want to serve, and then we hear the word of the Lord. We read something in a Bible study, or we hear something in a Bible study, we read something in our own personal Bible study, and we say, you know what? That's really a privilege to be considered one of God's children, first of all, and even the fact that He would call me and include me in His kingdom and then give me this opportunity to serve in that kingdom. I'll go. But really, we don't go because we decide. We go because God works in us to will and to do. We go because we, having been made alive from death, spiritual death, are brought to life and given that opportunity and privilege to work in God's kingdom through the one who really went instead of us, the one who closed the deal for us. Now, I use that phrase, repent and closer, the word closer, maybe you've heard that in baseball. They bring in the closer to finish out the game. He's the best pitcher, and they save him for last, and then he comes in and he wins the game for him. He finishes it, completes it. The repentant closer is the one who turns to the grace of Jesus Christ and says, I'm going to trust in Him alone to finish for me. And I get to be a part of that, a privileged partaker in that kingdom, not because of what I've done, but because of the righteousness that Christ has given to me and done for me. And so we see finally that He's the perfect closer for us. He's the one who leads us to repentance, and He's the one ultimately who leads us, even though we say no at times, to turn around and say, Lord, I can't help but respond in saying, yes, I'm going to go and serve in Your kingdom. But it doesn't always happen that way, does it? Jesus also has another son in this parable, and really He's the Pharisee, the little Pharisee in us. The hypocritical poser, you know, a poser is somebody who looks good on the outside, who does all the right things, and it's very much synonymous with the hypocrite, but looks good on the outside, does all the right things, and makes sure everybody notices, but they're not what they seem. What Jesus says to the hypocritical poser, in other words, the Pharisees, is that the tax collectors and prostitutes are entering heaven ahead of you. Why the harsh words? Because when God calls us to follow Him, when God calls us out of unbelief, He does not call us for mere lip service. He doesn't call us to just say, yep, I'll be there, I'll do whatever, and then not go, not follow through, not practice what we preach, as they say. To put it a different way, there aren't going to be any hypocritical posers in heaven. The Father will see them and know them. And so when Jesus turns in this parable, the Father turns to this in this parable to the other son. The son, it almost appears as if you're standing there and you're watching this conversation, it seems that this son is the one that everyone should follow. His example, they're the good ones. They look good on the outside. They do everything they're supposed to. He says, yes, I will, sir. He even says, sir. The other one didn't say that. That's got to count for something, right? He's standing proud with confidence, and he's polished, and he's got all the right tassels hanging in the right place. He follows all the right rules on the outside so that his neighbor doesn't know what he's really like inside. He's a whitewashed wall, covered and beautiful on the outside, when inside he is nothing but hollow emptiness filled with self-righteousness. The very picture of a Pharisee. Which is why Jesus would turn to the Pharisees as they figure it out and say, which one of these did what the Father wanted? The answer is so obvious, and yet Jesus was really leading them to see the one that didn't go is you. The one who doesn't want to go ultimately is the one who says, I'll go, but doesn't. The one who looks pretty and does all the right things on the outside, but finally, when it comes down to it, they really aren't trusting in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. They're trusting in their own good works on the outside. You know anyone like that at times? I don't really get into all that much trouble. Nobody's seen what I've done anyway, and you know, I treat my spouse pretty nicely in front of other people so that I make sure that they know that this is kind of what we're like. I make sure that I don't treat my children badly in front of other people so that they can't really see how sinful I really am. You know, I'm going to act this way in front of the adults so that they don't know what I'm really like when I'm with my friends in different places. The soul who sins is the one who will die, Ezekiel says, right? And so the one who runs away, not following the Father's will, not following into His kingdom, is the one who doesn't follow the way of righteousness that John came speaking, but his own way. And so really what we see here in this simple parable is that at times we can be either one of these sons. At times we may say no, and then later on our conscience is pricked and convinced to follow Christ Jesus, to listen to His will and ways, and then other times we're just like that hypocritical poser where we say, yep, I'll do it, with a polite tact to get someone off of our back, knowing full well we're not going to do it. What a miserable wretch we are. Neither one is actually God-pleasing, which is why we needed the perfect third son to come along and say, yes, Father, I will do what you want me to do. I will do it perfectly, flawlessly, and I will do it all the way to the end. So that when you and I get to the end of our own lives, the one who's closed it all the way to death, closed the door on the sting of death, closed the door on the devil, closed the door on the power of sin, will also close your eyes in death, only to open them to see His face in eternity. That third son is one you know, and really who knew you before you knew it, Christ Jesus. Which son are you? At times we're both, right? Which is why we need the third son to completely rely on. Because we can't do it on our own. And that's why as repentant sinners we turn back and we look at this serving in God's kingdom. It's not a, oh, we got to do that again. But a joy and a privilege. No matter what walk of life, no matter what our role is in God's kingdom. Let's get to work. As God's children, as His sons.